Glad to be in God's house today.
Amen.
You can think of a lot worse places to be, amen, and have been in some of them over the years, amen. I'm not proud of it, but hey, I'm proud of the blood of Jesus that covered me and saved me, amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be finishing up, yes, we're going to be finishing up a little mini series I started entitled, We're in a Real Battle. We're in a battle, guys. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
We're in a battle. But guess what? We can win that battle. We can defeat Satan. He's already been defeated. He's a defeated foe. So what we need to do is we need to gear up every day so that we make sure we continue to defeat him.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to ask you, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's Word. We're going to believe that God is going to honor us today, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to anoint our service today.
Amen.
Beginning with verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Just pray, God, you'd add to the blessings of the reading of your word today. Lord, let it not be about me or anything else, Lord, except just you, Father. And we just pray, God, that you will be glorified and lifted up here in the next few minutes, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, last week I began a sermon about the spiritual battle that we go through each and every day. We're in a battle, right? I mean, it's not an easy battle either. Some days I feel like I win, and some days I feel like I lose. I'm just happy to say I feel like I win more than I lose. Amen. That's what's important. As long as you can feel like and you know at the end of the day, you've won more battles than you've lost, because Satan is very manipulative. He is very crafty. If that had not been so, then we would still be walking around the Garden of Eden right now. Amen. We would not have to be faced with this sort of thing. So last week, if you remember, I talked about this battle being hard. The reason this battle is very hard is because we're facing an opponent that we cannot see. It's hard enough when you're fighting a battle against someone you can see, right? But we cannot see this opponent that we're facing. We're battling that invisible spiritual realm. That's who we're battling. That's what we're battling here each and every day. That invisible spiritual realm. See, Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. How many of you remember Hal Lindsey's book entitled that? Anybody remember that from way back in the 70s? He's still as alive as he was back then, and even more so today. You know why? Because he has more tools with which to operate today. Satan can enter into our homes so easily today. Sin can enter into our homes so easily today. But guys, when we put on the full armor of God, we have everything we need to thwart the efforts of the enemy, the devil. Amen. I may be glad you got God's word to rest on. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, if you will stand on the promises that God has given us here and you'll believe the words in this book, you have everything you need to be successful in life. You have everything you need to fight off the devil and fight off all of this battle that's being waged amongst your members and our members here today. Guys, we also discussed last week that I believe there's two worldviews through which most people perceive reality. There's a naturalistic or a materialistic worldview, and this worldview tries to explain everything scientifically and technologically. This worldview will say that if I can put it in a test tube, if I can look at it under a microscope, if I can weigh it, measure it, I can figure out what it is and how it happened and what's going on here. Then there's the spiritualistic realm, which is what we operate in as believers here. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I can't see them, but I know He lives in my heart.
Amen.
I know that He's in my heart. I've seen what He can do in and through me and around me. I've seen what He's done in the lives of other people. I know. People ask me sometimes, how do you know God exists? I'm like, because I can feel Him right here. Amen. I can feel Him inside my heart. And I can tell you some things that only God could have orchestrated in my life. And I can promise you this. He's still at work in there today. And that's why I'm trying to tell you guys, one of your most important witnessing tools is not your knowledge of Scripture, but what God has done for you. What God has done for you in your life. Share that with people. Let them know, hey, you don't have to be so skilled in Scripture. I hope you're going to learn a lot of Scripture as you move through your walk with the Lord. But hey, your most important witnessing tool that you possess is your life, as well as you telling people what God has done for you.
Amen.
I believe everybody in here can say some things about what God's done for them in their lifetime. I hope you can. I would hope you could say, you know what? God had His hand directly on me in this instance. God had His hand on me in this particular instance. I hope and pray you'd be able to say that each and every day. Guys, I want to discuss four areas today where I believe we can see the bleeding from the spiritual warfare being launched against us each day. Now, obviously, when we get wounded physically, we see the results of that, right? We see the bleeding. We see the injury, but sometimes we don't notice as quickly when we are spiritually bleeding. Anybody know somebody that's spiritually bleeding right now? That's been wounded and damaged by the enemy, who is actually bleeding spiritually, but they may not even realize that they're doing it right now. That's what I want to focus on today. The first area I believe that this battle affects is our personal life. Our personal life. Now, you may say, well, preacher, what do you mean our personal life? Well, the things that we do on a daily basis. Things that we come in contact with on a daily basis. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are bad people where this has affected them, but they may just have a problem in certain areas. And I'm going to focus on uncontrolled anger as one of them for this morning for a little bit. You know, there's a lot of things that the devil can use to manipulate us in our lives and mess with our personal lives, but I think anger is one of the greatest tools that Satan possesses.
When he can turn us against one another and he can make us become angry at one another, then he can do a lot of divisive things, not only in the church, but in the family unit as a whole. So you see, when he can manipulate us and get us angry and get us to the point where we can't think rationally, then he is winning in the life of a believer. And I've known plenty of people where that has been the case, where they will, they're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. I believe they know Jesus as their Savior, but they've allowed anger and bitterness to so take root in their life that they just can't seem to get past it. You know, our emotions can give the devil an entryway into our lives. Guys, let me tell you, our emotions can dictate whether we are moving forward for Christ or whether we are moving in reverse or whether we're staying in the same level that we've been in. So we need to learn to control our emotions. Anger is certainly an emotion that sometimes can get out of control, right? Anybody been angry in the last week at someone or about something? If you have, raise your hand. I think we all have, right? We all get angry. We all get upset from time to time. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 27, not to let our anger become sin. You know, we're going to get angry. Jesus got angry, right? When he saw how they were desecrating the temple, he went through there turning over the money changers' tables and running those people out of there. He was angry. But that was not a sinful anger. See, a lot of times we allow our anger to fester and it gets to the point where we have crossed the line and we're no longer showing a righteous type of anger or an anger because of a certain stand that we're trying to make in society. We cross that line and it becomes a sinful anger then. When we start hating our fellow man and when we start belittling one another. So I want to encourage you to be cautious about that. He also says, don't let the sun go down on our anger and don't give the devil an opportunity. Guys, don't ever go to bed mad at each other. Let me tell you something. I think the worst thing that I think could possibly happen is if you are angry at a loved one, you go to sleep and for whatever reason the Lord calls that person on to be with him. Can you imagine the guilt you would have with that for the rest of your life? The last thing you remember saying to that person that you love were angry words that you can now no longer take back and you have to live with that for the rest of your life. I want to encourage you to settle your differences before the sun goes down. That's why Paul recognized the importance of doing this. Don't let this thing keep festering day after day after day. Take care of it right then. You know, many Christians suffer today because of anger that was not resolved. This is why a lot of believers are suffering today. They're still suffering because of unresolved anger. Guys, if we allow Satan to seize our emotions, he will cripple us emotionally or he will lead us into all kinds of other destructive behavior. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of other people. So I believe that this battle affects our personal life. The second thing I believe this battle affects is our families. Our families. You know, Satan has been in the business of messing up families from the start, hadn't he? Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve. He gave them this beautiful place to inhabit. He gave them everything they needed. This was to be the beginning of the perfect family unit. But along comes Satan, who had already been created before that, and who was already manipulative and already on God's bad side. So what does he do? He presents himself in the form of a serpent. He was sly, cunning, deceiving even then. And he's even that or more today. So he convinced Adam and Eve to do the one thing. God only said, don't do one thing. Isn't that so like us? You know, when you were a little kid and your parents told you not to do something, you were determined to go and do that, weren't you? You didn't learn very well, did we? We were going to, if parents said, don't you go do that. We just wanted to just see how much we could test the water. Then we wanted to go out and try that. Well, that's kind of what happened here. But you see, when the devil is behind it and Satan is manipulating you to do something you know you shouldn't do, it's going to cause you problems. It's going to cause you problems down the road. So you see, God said, you can have anything you want in this beautiful place, but do not eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden, because if you do, you will die. Now, I believe if God told me that, I know now that I know what I know about God, if he told me not to do something, I wouldn't do it. But you got to understand, these beings did not really understand the nature of God that well yet.
But they knew well enough to know that they shouldn't have eaten of that tree, and they became very remorseful afterwards. But guys, that's where it all began. That's why we all suffer now. That's why we have diseases. That's why we have sickness. That's why we have broken homes and broken families. That's why we have all of these things that are wrong in the world today. It all started there, and it all started because of Satan's manipulative behavior. That's where it began. Anytime the devil can get a family to attack each other and belittle each other, he wins and we lose. I'm going to tell you what, the devil is winning a lot in society today. Just look at all this family violence you see when you turn on the TV. All of these domestic disputes and quarrels that sometimes end up in the death of family members. It's crazy. It's crazy. But you know what? The devil doesn't care. He wants that. He wants dissension in the family unit. You know why? Because if he can disrupt the family unit, he disrupts the functionality of potential believers who might be going out trying to win somebody for Christ. You see, that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants people to be at each other. Because then he can turn his attention on people that are a little more focused and try to mess with their attention as well. Guys, we cannot allow the relentless attacks of the enemy to destroy a good Christian family unit. People are doing that. They're allowing the devil to come in. Let me tell you something. Can I just tell you something here right now? Satan's already defeated. Y'all realize that? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Satan is defeated. He was defeated on the cross. When Jesus breathed his last breath and sent our sins to the pits of hell, he was defeated. He is defeated. The Bible tells us in the book of James, rebuke the devil and he will what? Flee. Why don't we do more of that? Why do we allow Satan to get a foothold in our lives when all we got to say is, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave my presence right now. Amen. You know what? He has to do it. He cannot stay in the presence of Jesus and disobey something that a believer has said using the name of Jesus. He will flee. If you don't believe that, the devil has tempted me sometimes, and I finally just say that. Sometimes I say it out loud. Sometimes people think I'm crazy. Especially if I'm around other people, I say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. They're looking at me like, what the heck? Somebody call 911. Amen? But guys, I'm going to tell you, we got to do that. Anytime you don't rebuke the devil and try to get him away from you, then he's going to start getting a little closer to you each and every time. And before you know it, he's going to get in. He's going to attack your family. We cannot allow this to happen, guys. Just look at the divorce rate in the United States of America today. The average marriage in the U.S. only lasts 5 years or less. There's no sacredness to the vows that people make anymore. There's no more of till death do us part. They ought to rewrite the vows to suit the modern age today. And if they did, they would say, until we get tired of each other, then we'll part. Because that's what a lot of people believe. How many of you believe the vows of marriage are sacred and are binding up to and including death? Amen. Amen. See, that's what God intended for marriage to be. He did not intend it to be when you get tired of somebody, just up and leave them. That's not what it's about. It's about making a commitment and sticking to that commitment and making it work. Making it work. You know, one of the big reasons for that is because the enemy's convinced people it's easier to just quit rather than to fight and keep together what God considers to be sacred. Guys, let me tell you, if you know someone who's struggling in their marriage, tell them to fight. Tell them to not give up. Tell them to call me. I've counseled many people on marriage that were having marriage problems. And I'm happy to say some of them I was able to help. Some of them I was not. Through the power of Jesus. I want you to know it wasn't anything I did in and of myself. But some people don't want to be helped. You know that? You ever dealt with people who don't want to be helped? If they don't want to be helped, you're not going to help them. I've dealt with people who are addicted to drugs. And they've come to me and they want me to counsel with them. And the first thing I ask them is this. Do you want help? Yes. Do you admit you have a problem? No, I can control it. I really don't need to go to a rehab center. I was like, well, come back when you're ready for me to talk to you. There's no need for me to talk to them. Until they admit they have a problem, you're not going to help them.
That may sound ugly, but that's the truth. I've dealt with a lot of people who were hooked on a lot of different kind of drugs throughout the years. And until they admit they won't help and they have a problem, you're not going to reach them. You can pray for them, and I would encourage you to keep doing that. The next thing I believe this battle affects is our church life. Guys, the enemy wants nothing better than to pit believers against one another, churches against one another, pastors against one another, members within the church just in turmoil with each other. This is what the devil wants. You know why? Because if he can divide the bride of Christ, the church, then he has won a huge battle. If the church folk are arguing with each other, they're certainly not going to be about the business of trying to lead others to Christ, are they? If they're worried about fussing and bickering and fighting among each other, they're not going to be worried about the cause of Christ. They're going to be worried about their own agenda. So guys, we are the church. We're God's finest creation. You know what? If we know Jesus as our Savior, we're all going to heaven. It doesn't matter what denomination we are. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came to this earth, who died on the cross for our sins, was nailed to that cross, was buried and resurrected on the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of God, you believe what I believe. I don't care what denomination you are. Amen. Woo! Forget about that paper right there. Amen. I don't care what denomination you are. Guys, we get caught up in all that stuff. What is your core values and beliefs? Do you believe in a triune God? That's the main thing I want to stress to you. Because you see, that's where you find out where a lot of false prophecy is coming from and a lot of false teaching. If they can't tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and was God in the flesh, then you don't need to be listening to them. Amen. You need to turn away from that. I hope I don't need that because I can't bend over very well anymore. Amen. Might have to get somebody to come up here. Might have to get Samantha to come get it in a minute. All right. Thank you, honey. Now this, listen. Ephesians. This is Ephesians coming to life right here. Wives, honor your husbands in everything. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That was very nice of you. Amen. All right. I didn't tell the other important verse. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Amen. All right. Thank you, hon. I appreciate you getting that for me very much. All right, guys, but look, we need to support our pastors. We need to support our churches, our members. You know, we cannot let our egos cause us to engage in these battles. And that's what it is a lot of times. Our own egos stand in the way of serving God. You know, that happens sometimes, doesn't it? We are the church. We're God's finest creation. You know, we need to learn to act as believers should act. If people can't come into the church and find peace and love and happiness and unity and harmony, where are they going to find it? They're not going to find it in the world. If they come into a church and you got this side over here that wants to do this for the church and you got this side over here that wants to do that for the church and they sense the dissension, do you think they're going to want to really be a part of a church? No, they're not. So we got to learn to put that stuff past us. You know, if the devil can destroy a church from the inside, he has won one of his biggest battles of all. You know, if believers are at one another, then there will not be about the business of winning the lost for Christ. It's just not going to happen. So guys, as a church, we need to love one another. Now, we can disagree, but we must learn to agree to disagree. We cannot continue to harbor angerness and bitterness because that's exactly one of the things that can happen. The enemy can use this tremendously to his advantage. And the last thing I want to mention to you is this. I believe this battle affects our culture. Look at the culture in which we live today. Now, some of you are obviously older than others. Some of you have been on this earth for a long period of time. Some of you have been on this earth a relatively short period of time. Those of you that have been on this earth at least 50 years or more have seen a lot of changes in the moral turpitude of America. We have seen the disintegration of the family unit. We have seen the disintegration of the church as the central focus point of a community. We have seen people just migrating away from the core values that our ancestors were brought up with. Serving God, coming to church, having a happy heart, worshiping. You know,
just look at what's going on today. We live in a culture that does not put a lot of emphasis on serving Jesus anymore. We don't put a lot of emphasis on serving Jesus anymore. If we did, this church would be full today. Amen? Amen. And I'm not saying people don't have a good reason for not being here. So please, I know how some people are. You know the preacher called you out today because you weren't here today. No, I'm just making a general comment here. I'm just saying if people were more about Jesus, it'd be less about other things. Amen? That'd be more about focusing on growing closer to Him and moving in the positive direction. So, hey, I thank each and every person that's here today, by the way. And I hope and pray you're going to get a blessing from having been here today. And I know God's pleased with that as well. You know, if the devil can destroy a church from the inside, he's got us. And he's working on our culture right now. He's working on our culture. Just look at what all is going on in the world today. New York. With this new abortion thing that they passed here, you can now be a mother, give birth to a child that is sitting there moving around and beginning to cry, that is trying to get to its mother, and that mother can decide to end that baby's life after it's been born. Where are we going? I mean, that is ridiculous. That is nothing but murder. Amen? I am a pro-lifer, and I always have been, and I always will be, amen? And I'm not ashamed to say it. I will tell anybody that. I don't believe we have a right to take away anything that God has implanted inside someone that is alive and that has a heartbeat.
Amen.
Especially after they've gone 9 months and actually been born. Where has our culture gone? Where's our culture gone? Guys, when are we going to reestablish the covenant of marriage between one woman and one man? Guys, where's our world gone? I mean, you only have to look back to the Garden of Eden. God created man and woman. He didn't create man and man. He didn't create woman and man. It's unnatural. He did not create Adam and Eve. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. We're going against everything that God's Word says is wrong. I mean, we can prove it. We can show it. But people want to still do their own thing. You know why the world's in the shape it's in today? Why our culture is where it is today. We're too concerned about being politically correct and not biblically correct.
Amen.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That means I'm going to base my life on what the principles of God's Word tells me. I don't care if you pass all the crazy laws you want. But let me tell you something. We need to be fighting this, guys. We need to be standing up. Pastors need to be standing up and telling their congregations, hey, the reason we're in the shape we're in today is because we as believers, here was our attitude when Roe v. Wade came around. Oh, they'll never pass something like that. They'll never allow people to take unborn children's lives. No way. This country was founded on better principles than that. And guess what? It happened. You know why? Because we sat back. We took a passive-aggressive approach. We talked a good game, but we didn't really do any footwork to make any difference. So what happened? When prayer was taken out of the schools, one lady and her son managed to erase everything that we stood for as far as that principle goes. Why? Because we stood back and allowed it to happen. We said, oh, we're going to pray about this. You know what? Sometimes prayer is not enough. God wants you to put feet on those prayers. He wants you to work toward what is right. And stand up for what is right. Guys, when are we going to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves? Until we defend God's Word and stand behind the principles and concepts within its pages, the devil's going to continue to plow his way through these lives of every American family, leaving a path of broken lives, relationships, and homes. I want to ask you one question today, guys. Who is willing to put on the whole armor of God to take up this fight against the devil? Amen. Guys, you cannot leave your house every day without your helmet on. You cannot leave your house without your breastplate on. You cannot leave your house without your shield. You cannot leave your house without your sword, without your feet in the proper attire, so that you can stand and be all that you can be for God and fight everything the devil's throwing at you. Guess what, guys? We can win. We must win. If we're going to fight this battle that we're in, and we're in a real battle, guys, if we're going to fight it and we're going to win it, we've got to equip ourselves to win. And we cannot empower ourselves to be defeated. Too many people empower themselves for failure.
They know they're doing the wrong thing. They continue to go down that same path. Guess what? You're going to get the same results. Until you're willing to step up and do something different for Christ, you're as good as you're going to get right now. Some people are sitting here right now in the same spiritual condition you were 50 years ago when you got saved. Oh my God, who's he talking about? I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying some of you are still on spiritual milk. You're not ready to fight a battle. You got to be ready to fight a battle in order to win a battle. People don't go into battle unarmed and expect to win. You must be prepared to win this battle each and every day. But guys, guess what? God gives you everything you need right here in His Word to win this battle.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
He gives you everything you need to win this battle. The question is, are you willing to put this on every day? Because for some people, it may become a burden to them. Oh, I don't want to wear my helmet today. Oh, I don't have time to put my breastplate on. You know, I'm trying to stay close to Jesus, but I just can't get that close today. When you don't protect your heart and you don't protect your mind, guess what? That's a playground for the devil. He will get in there and he will manipulate your heart and mind so quick when you do not protect it with the Word of God. When you do not protect it from these sort of things being launched at you. Guys, I love everybody in this room today. But I'm telling you this, until you're willing to buckle up that breastplate, put that helmet on, take that sword in your hand, get that shield in your arm, then you're going to lose more times than you win. Do you want to win? Because if you do, you have the ability to do it. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for each and every person that's here today. I pray, God, that your word was delivered in a way that was pleasing to you. And Lord, I just pray now if anybody needs to come up here to this altar, Lord, and just lay some things down. Lord, like Emma's song talked about, laying it down, Lord. Sometimes we need to just come up and just lay some things down at the foot of Jesus. Lord, we need to just come up to you here at this altar and just say, Lord, you know what? I'm certainly not perfect, but I know I can be better than what I am right now. I want you to help me, God. I want you to help me to remember to put on all my armor every day. Lord, I just pray that hearts and lives will be challenged and changed today, Father. And we're going to give you the praise ahead of time for everything you're going to do here from this service here today, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
509.
Let's stand and sing hymn 509. $600. We've got how much now? $25. We're still $575 from that goal.
goals. So guys, we got through the end of April to try to reach and maybe even exceed that goal. Also, your 30 pieces of silver, 30 silver coins, bring it in your little bag on Easter Sunday. We're going to give that to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So if you did not get the bag, be sure and see either Faye or Tammy to get you one. They're back in the back. They're back on the back table, so pick you up one as you go. We're talking about any 30 pieces, nickels, dimes, quarters, whatever. Okay? Silver, not brown. Okay? All right, let me just clarify that, okay? I'll make sure everybody's color literate here, all right? Okay. All right. On the 20th, we're planning an Easter egg hunt. Time to be determined.
Hold on.
Yes.
If any of the moms have little kids or whatever, if we can meet just for a second right after church so we found out that after I put that in there, that date's not good.
Oh, okay.
So if there's anybody that's got small children that would want to come to Easter egg hunt, maybe we can meet for just a second and figure out a good
date. Okay. All right. Let's go and hang around for a minute. On the 21st, of course, Easter Sunday, we'll have our normal sunrise service at 7 right here on the grass where the cross is. We'll have coffee and donuts to follow in the fellowship hall. If you'd like to come and be a part of that, we'd love to have you. At that time, that day, the 30 pieces of silver to benefit Annie Armstrong will be due. May the 12th is the deadline for the whiteout collection for Penfield Christian Home. So please, let's get those things in for that as well. And for our men, we're going to the Gridiron Men's Conference. That is June the 15th and 16th. So we're going to talk about accommodations, but if you will please go online and register for that by April 30th. That way we'll know how many rooms we need. We do have some money budgeted for our Brotherhood activities that will help cover the hotel room costs. It's a great conference. We'll be gone Thursday and Friday. We'll come back Saturday. We'll leave Saturday morning to come back. So we're in Birmingham, Alabama. I want to encourage any of our men who would like to go to come and be a part of that. We always have a great time on those trips. So if you can get that signed up by April 30th. Also, I need to mention, in recognition of National Volunteer Week, the Greenpoint Health and Rehab Center, Greenpoint Nursing Home invites you to join us for a dessert. Look, I had to figure out how to pronounce this word. It's soiree. It looks like sorry to me, you know. I was like, what's a dessert sorry? Okay, so a soiree is, I guess, all kind of little things are going to be. That's going to be Friday, April 12th from 3 to 4 p.m. You need to RSVP by April 10th. Those people that volunteer to go with us to our nursing home service we do every third Sunday, these are the kind of the volunteers they're talking about wanting to do this for. So if you've gone and participated with us, please come if you can. Unfortunately, I will not be able to attend because I'll be at school during that time. But if anyone else can come and be a part of that, please, by all means, do that. You need to contact Sherry Denard, who is the director there. There's a phone number listed as 706-486-2167, which is the nursing home number. So I want to encourage you to do that as well. Tonight, this afternoon at 4:30, we will have our deacons meeting, followed by family night fellowship. We're going to bring finger foods tonight, so bring you some finger foods, and we're going to watch a really good movie. It's an older movie, but it is a movie that I think you'll enjoy. It was actually filmed up around Helen, up in the mountains of North Georgia. What's the name of it?
Reach the Highest Mountain.
Reach the Highest Mountain, I believe is the name of it. And actually, our son-in-law Bradley's grandparents' church is actually in this film. It's kind of a neat little film. I think they'll enjoy it. It's about a Methodist minister who tries to bring the message of Christ to this area here in this part of the world, in this part of the state. So I think they'll enjoy it. We'll have to finish it next week, but we'll start it tonight. Also, Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7. If you have any prayer requests, take a second on the back of your pew. There's some slips. Fill out the name and what the request is and drop it in our container over by the door there. We'd love to pray for each of those by name and by situation if you choose to give us that. Okay? All right. Any other announcements we need to make? Okay. Well, this time, I'm going to ask Dell and Tony to come up here for a minute because we want to present you with a little gift. Most of you know by now that Dell and Tony lost their home to fire. And We just wanted, as a church family, to reach out, and I know you had insurance and all that, but I know that, you know, we just wanted to do something to show our love for you. So we want to give you guys this check, and thank you so much for your dedication and everything for, to our church and for our church. So
thank you.
Thank you. Isn't that good? Now, sometimes preachers feel like they've got fired at some darts and been shot at them at the end of the service. But I feel good today, amen?
Amen.
I break it out to some James Brown in a minute. I feel good. I won't do that. Some people do that run out there. Some people are like, that preacher's demon possessed. All right.
Let's at least get Jeffrey before you start.
Okay, all right. We'll do that. All right, I'm going to ask everybody if you're going to stand on your feet. Are there any other announcements we need to make? If not, all right.
Somebody going to need it.
Oh, yes. How did I forget that? I got one more announcement to make real quick. We'll give him a round of applause. One of our youth, Josh Chastain, has just officially, as of this past week, enlisted in the United States Navy. He will be going to basic in August of this year. So let's give him a round of applause. Done, and we're looking forward to him having a great experience there in the Navy. So we're thankful for that. Also, we're going to be recognizing in May, just keep in mind our graduating seniors that are active members here of our church as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Jerry if he'd mind to dismiss us from our service today.
Good afternoon.